Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
Great, what a privilege to share the word this evening. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Yaku. Prinsloo. It's great to say Prinsloo, not Prinsloo. In England, the guys struggle with Prinsloo. That's okay. Guys, you must really pray for the cricket guys, eh? This evening, the start today went much better, praise the Lord. But the other day, I was texting with the guys, my friends in England, and it wasn't so good, eh? It's a bit of a humbling experience, praise God. So my wife, if you don't know, my wife and I have recently moved back from England. The Lord has blessed me with an amazing family. I'm sure you're going to all meet them. They can't be here this evening. We got on a plane with 17 pieces of check-in luggage. Just let that sink in for a moment. 17. Okay. You knew that was a mission. Just before you want to do that, just check with me. Especially if you're going to have three little children with you as well. Okay. Anyways, let's pray. God, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your peace here. We thank you, God, that we even before we thought of coming here, you already had planned who every person would be that would be sitting here. Lord, thank you that you were here before us, before we came, Lord, and you absolutely guarantee us that when we draw near to you, you draw near to us, God. And this evening, what a blessing, what a privilege for us to come together as a family in Christ and to draw near to you. So we consecrate this time, Lord, and we say, God, let your name be lifted up in and through us, Lord. We are not here for any man's opinion, Lord. We're not here to speculate about stuff. We are here to meet with you, Lord. And our desire is to be more like Christ. Our desire is to know you. Holy Spirit, we welcome you as our teacher, Lord. We welcome you as the one who leads us into all truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I have to sometimes focus when I'm worshiping, enjoying worship, because if you go give it too much, then your voice is gone by the time you have to preach. Okay, so start praying now. Anyway, guys. When I was a younger Christian, I always feel I'm still a young Christian because I'm going to be a Christian for a long time. I mean, eternity is a long time. Anyway, so I remember when there was opportunity to share cool stuff about God and share stuff that God has done, I would always tell other people's stories. I tell you, yes, I heard about this guy. He was like a drug dealer and a Satanist, you know, and then the Lord touched his life, and it was amazing. And then the reason why I did that is because I, for some reason, believed that my own testimony was not very powerful. And the enemy had me believing that because I lived an average life before I got saved, and I'd never done any drugs, never killed anybody, stuff like that, you'll be relieved to hear. Although I came close, you know, having had two sisters. But for some reason, the enemy had me believing that I should rather share those other guys' stories, because my testimony is not average. You know? That's the biggest lie. If you're sitting with that thing this evening, I want to just encourage you, because God, the Holy Spirit convicted me that whether I was a Satanist or a drug dealer or whatever, or an average citizen, we were all heading in the right direction. The same direction, not the right one, the same direction, and that's towards eternal death. Right? So if you're here and you're born again, you have a powerful testimony. Christ has saved us from the pit, and he's redeemed us, and he's given us life. And that's a powerful testimony. No matter how that happened, it's worth sharing. And it's important for us to actually, what I had to do is I had to go and pray about that moment and those moments leading up to the place where I was born again, and those times that kind of took me in that direction. I had to go and pray and ask Holy Spirit to remind me what really happened and how that would work. And it was amazing how Holy Spirit really helped me so that I could really share what God had done in my life. I want to challenge you to do the same. So that when people ask that you're ready, say, guys, do you have 2 minutes or do you have 45 minutes? So you have to practice both, the short version and the long one. No jokes. My shortest one is 45 seconds at a bus stop. And then I said to the lady, can I talk to you about Jesus? And she said, well, that's my bus over there. I said, oh, don't worry. And we speak quickly. No, but when she had to get on the bus, she said, wow, I really want to hear more. And she was really touched. The Holy Spirit, even those 45 seconds had done his work. Amen. So pray about it, go and hear from God, and be ready. There's a lot of things people can argue with us about, but they can't argue about what God has done in our lives. Amen. What God has done in how he redeemed us. And so maybe that's homework for some. Go and pray about that. But the thing is, it's important for us to have monuments like that. It's monuments of God's faithfulness, monuments of times when we experienced the power and the presence of God so tangibly that we were changed. And this evening, I want us just to think back for a moment. When did you experience the presence of God and the conviction of the Holy Spirit for the first time? When can you remember experiencing God in a way that you know impacted your life? When was the first time that you had that experience with him? And if you can't remember now, go and pray about it and go and meditate and build monuments and build kind of markers for yourself in your life. And you look back to say, wow, you know what? That was a changing, that was a key moment for me. That was when God touched me. That was when he came into my situation. And this evening we're going to look at a couple of situations like that from Scripture. Let's read from Luke chapter 8. Go one more right. Go one more. Go one more, then a bit bigger. All right. One more. Yeah, okay, cool. Now a woman having a... This is what happened. So Jairus, Jesus gets off a boat. Jairus comes running to him and he says, Jesus, he's basically desperate, right? He's his daughter's ill. It's a crisis. He's at his wit's end. He says, Jesus, please, please, can you come to my house? Can you pray for my daughter? She's dying. And this is where we get into the story. Now, they're rushing back home. Rushing through a crowd of people. And this is what happens. Now, a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment. And immediately, her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, who touched me? And all denied it. Peter and those with him said, Master, the multitude throng and press you, and you say, who touched me? But Jesus said, somebody touched me, for I perceive power going out from me. And when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. See this incredible encounter of this lady that's been struggling with this condition for 12 years. And not only has she been struggling with the physical condition of the flow of blood and this terrible thing, she's in that context, the social context there, that kind of condition would have heard her being thought of as unclean, which meant she could not be in public. She could not be among people. In other words, she was pretty much an outcast. She'd pretty much been dealing with terrible rejection for 12 years. She says she spent all her livelihood, everything she could earn, everything she had, she spent on trying to find a solution, trying to find a cure, trying to to be healed and going to physicians, going all over the place. In our context today, you know, flying to the best doctors all over the world, but having no success. None could help. And then we see this moment where I'm just trying to put myself in her shoes. She must have pretty much given up. I can just imagine her thinking, listen, this is pretty much the way life is going to be forever. I'm going to just have to resign myself to the fact that I've got this condition. I'm not going to live a normal life. I can't be among people. I'm going to be an outcast all my life. And she's pretty much given up, having spent everything she had. And then we see, I don't know, maybe she's heard about this Jesus, healing people, doing all these miracles. And now she's taken this great risk. She's come out into public. She's come out into a place where there are lots of people. She's pushing through the crowd. And she's maybe just got this little bit of hope left, thinking maybe there's one more chance. Maybe there's a chance of me having a normal life again. And where all her hope has been lost and where she's basically tried everything, now Jesus walks into her situation. And she positions herself and she touches him. And immediately she's healed. Immediately her life is transformed. When Christ walks into her life and into her situation, she can never be the same again. Immediately, everything that she's been wrestling with for 12 years and must have been felt like a lifetime, suddenly she's new. She's renewed. She's healed. Not only has she received healing physically, but she's got dignity back. She's no longer an outcast. She's now able to live a normal life. In a few moments, her life has been completely turned upside down. Where there was death, there's life. Where there was sickness, she's been healed. Where there was rejection and her being outcast, now she's accepted. And in those few moments, everything has changed when Christ has come into the situation. And it's crazy in the society we live in. There's so many places we look for solutions. And I can just imagine her going, trying everything. These days, you know, we've got social media, we've got the internet, all the stuff going on. You can Google stuff. Just Google it. Apparently there's a website called Let Me Google That For You. Something, have you seen that? And there's a link, and then, you know. So when somebody asks you a question, you just give them a link to that site, say, Let Me Google That For You, and then. But it's crazy, you know, you can go to a forum, and this is a confession, when you have young children, and you don't know if something's wrong, and you don't know what's wrong, you don't know if it's whether you should go to the doctor, or go to A&E, or what's it called, yeah, ongevallen, or something, emergency, something, yeah. and what you do as a young parent is you Google it, yeah. I know that now that I know doctors, I'm going to phone them, okay? But before you Google it and you just see, okay, is my child going to live? Or is it dangerous? You don't believe me, eh? Yeah, you do that. Erica, so please don't take that as advice. But the problem is we've got so many places we go for advice. We've got so many places we go for solutions. We've got forums about stuff, people giving their opinions, people do crowdsourcing, they just ask a question on Facebook. Have you seen that? And the stuff people say, I'm like, please, man, just go to your small group and have somebody pray for you, but don't ask that question on Facebook, okay? And you got these life hacks. Have you seen these posts about life hacks? And people put this revelation on there about the duct tape and stuff that they've used, and you think, man, don't you have something better to do with your time? In any case, praise the Lord. There's some good stuff out there, but there's so much going on. And so often we try, we have a wrestle with something, we have a struggle with something, or there's a challenging situation, and we look so many other places. We try to find the 10 steps. Somebody's had a problem, and they give you, this is what I worked for me, the 5 steps, or this is the read this book, the 10 steps of this. Where in fact what we're looking for is not the 10 steps, but the solution we're looking for is a person. And his name is Jesus Christ. Amen. We can look many places and we can try many things, but the solution, the life, the source of life itself is not in 10 steps or a method, is in a person, and we call Christ, we call Jesus. And I want to share a quote my friend Sias shared. Praise the Lord. This was on Facebook, so it's not all bad. But he said recently, here we go, Jesus did not come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. He's a savior, not a spiritual hairdresser, doctor, or magician. How often do we even relate to Christ like somebody that can do a quick fix? Somebody that can maybe make a superficial improvement? Put a Band-Aid on. You know, as parents, we sometimes put a kiss on the ouch and we blow on it or something and we say, no, you'll be better. Jesus is not like that. Where there's death, he brings life. And where there's, he's the one that renews and restores. He brings new life. Where there's no hope, he brings hope. Amen. Let's go on. Okay, we're taking the story forward now. Let's just go on verse 49. While he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher. It's too late. They've been rushing. They've been doing everything they could to get there as quickly as they could. And there was this, a bit of a delay as they were pushing through the crowd. Then this thing happened with the lady. She was healed. But now it's too late. The daughter is already dead. Don't bother the teacher anymore. How often do we find ourselves in a situation where we've stood in faith for something and now it's too late? It feels too late. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him saying, do not be afraid. Only believe and she will be made well. When he came into the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, and John, and the father and mother of the girl. Now all wept and mourned for her, but he said, do not weep, she's not dead, but sleeping. And they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. But he put them all outside, took her by the hand, and called, saying, little girl, arise. Then her spirit returned, and she arose immediately. And he commanded that she be given something to eat, and her parents were astonished. But he charged them to tell no one what had happened. Now, put yourself in the shoes of this father just for a moment. And I haven't been a dad for very long, almost 5 years. But I'm just trying to imagine what this guy is going through. His beloved little girl is at the point of death. He's hopeless. He's given up all hope. He doesn't know whether there's a chance that she might live. He's running. He heard about this Jesus guy, and he's running to him. He said, can you please come? And then there's a bit of a delay, and it's too late. The news comes. How often have we found ourselves in that situation where it seems like we've tried every avenue, and we've prayed, and we've put out our faith, and it seems like God is not responding. It's too late now. And I want us to look at how Jesus responds to the news that it's too late. He says there, do not be afraid. Why does he say that? Because that is in fact the main thing that we often comes in our way when we're at that crux, at that point of crisis, is we fall into fear and we fall into panic. And fear directly opposes faith. Andres was talking about it last week, about how our fear opposes faith, and the moment we allow fear in, it's almost impossible for us to operate in faith. And he says, do not be afraid. Get rid of the fear. And then he says, you see there, he says, if you pray harder, and if you give more tithes, and if you become a small group facilitator, and if you work harder being a Christian, maybe there's a chance. No. He says, only believe. It doesn't give 10 steps. He doesn't even say, go be more committed at your church. He just says, believe. Amen. Guys, But Christ doesn't expect us to perform for his love and for his healing and for his redemption. He's the victory that he's won on the cross is, and the gift of salvation is not a performance-based payment. Amen? He says, do not be afraid. Only believe and she will be made well. And they come to the house, and then when Jesus says, don't worry, she's only sleeping, people ridicule him. People are mourning already, and they start laughing in his face, and this guy is obviously not in touch with reality. Guys, I want to say we need to be careful when we are really trusting God for something, and when we're trusting for our workplace, or we're trusting for somebody's salvation, or we're wrestling through a challenge. There will be people that when they hear that you're standing in faith for something, they will laugh in your face. There will be a temptation to listen, to start listening to those around you, thinking you're crazy. You still trust for this. Be careful. Amen. Don't listen to those that want to ridicule, those that say, no, it's too late. You're in la-la land now. You have to move on now. Jesus says, do not be afraid. And then do you see what he does? He says, he gets rid of the fear. He says, do not be afraid. Then he gets rid of the doubters and the ridiculers. And he says, okay, everybody out. And then he raises the little from the dead. When Jesus comes into the situation, everything changes. When Christ enters in, nothing can be the same again. Amen. When the light comes into the darkness, Scripture says, when there's light, there can be no more darkness. When I was a boy, guys know Donnie Ferreira. He used to be on staff here, and he's now a pastor in Standerton, Standerton. And we've been friends since grade one. He's a great guy. And we used to play this game on their farm in their house at the back room there. We made it very dark, right? We blanked it out completely, made it dark, and the game was called Donker Kamerkie. A little dark room. Sounds dodgy when you say it in English. But anyway, so the idea was you make it very dark, and then the one guy stays outside, everybody else hides in the, not a very big room, but and then the other person has to come in and look for the people, and their eyes are obviously not used to the dark, so it's fun and everything. Anyway, but then, have you been in the pitch dark black room, and then suddenly somebody switches on the light? Have you seen what happens? The darkness normally goes into the corner, then it goes under the couch, and then it comes, and then it goes out the window. Have you seen it? No. I mean, you haven't seen that because that's not what happens, right? When the light enters in, there can be no more darkness. If you have a proper light and there's no load shedding happening, then all the darkness flees. That's what happened when Christ comes into a situation. The darkness flees. Amen? When there's light, there can be no darkness. When Christ comes into the situation, everything changes. Let's go on. Let's look at Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to those who are captives, to the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Amen. I was sitting in the McDonald's in London a couple of weeks ago, and it was school holiday. The place was packed over lunchtime, lots of families, lots going on. And for a moment, I just sat there watching people. You do people watching sometimes. It's a great sport. Anyway, so, you know, people are going on, stuff's happening. And the Holy Spirit just almost made me sensitive to see that family, maybe this is their treat for the holiday, maybe a little bit above what they can normally afford, and this is maybe a bit poor. There's a rich guy in the corner with his fancy suit, stressing about something. You know, for a moment, you kind of just have a bit of insight, recognizing everybody has got something they're wrestling through. Everybody's got a challenge they're facing, and some bigger than others. Some maybe have lost hope. Some maybe at the wit's end. And for a moment, I just sat there. Holy Spirit just spoke to me and said, you know, I just realized I can give lots of these people good advice. I can even walk a road with them. I can teach them stuff that I've learned. I can give them some great pointers, 5 steps. But what they really need is they need Jesus to come into their situation. They need Christ to come into their space. And nothing will be the same again. Amen. They need Jesus to come into their crisis or into their wrestle, what they're wrestling in. They need Christ in their situation. He's not only does he say he brings life, he is the life. Let's look at the next one in actually Psalm 39 there. He gives hope to the hopeless in verse 7. And now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you. Scripture speaks of the hope that we have in God being an anchor for the soul. Such a beautiful picture for me, because the soul is often the problem, right? The emotions, the soul, the intellect, the stuff we think about, it's all over the place. That needs anchoring. When the soul is anchored, when our hope is in God and we have that anchor for the soul, then the Spirit can be in charge. I mean, then we can trust in God, then we can operate in faith, and we can invite Christ into our situation. I want to look at one more situation, one more account here before we start ending up. In John chapter 11, this is, actually, let's look at 2. This is where Jesus, Lazarus is sick, right? Jesus is called. The sisters call Jesus, "Jesus, please come immediately. Lazarus is dying." And this is a moment a couple of days later when he arrives there and the people are mourning. Lazarus has been dead already for 4 days. He's been buried. People are in mourning. His sisters are beside themselves. Cannot understand. Jesus, we did ask you to come. Why did you not come? Why did you not hear our prayer? Why did you not respond in our time of greatest need? And this is what Jesus says to her. He says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" And then he doesn't stop there, but he calls Lazarus to come out. Amen. He raises him from the dead. When Jesus comes into the hopeless situation where there's death and nothing happening, there's life again. Let's look at another one. John chapter 8, this woman was caught in adultery. One always wonders, how can adultery be a one-man show? Okay, so there's only the lady there, it seems. John chapter 8 from verse 3. So when, I said 3, but maybe it's 7. Let's read from 7. So when they continued asking me, he raised himself up and said to them, okay, what's saying now? They're testing Christ now, right? So according to the law of the day, this woman was caught in the act of adultery, and she now is condemned to die. She's been dragged there in front of everybody, probably not clothed, and she's, according to the law, she has to be stoned to death. Let's read from verse 7. So when they continued asking him what should be done, he raised himself up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in their midst. And when Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" And she said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Jesus spoke to them again, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." This lady, she knows she's going to die. There's no way around this. She's been caught in the act. She's been dragged into the public place. She's already been found guilty. She's going to die today. There's no way of getting around the maybe convincing somebody that she's not guilty. She's been exposed. She's shame. There's so much against her. And then Jesus comes into the situation. He says, I don't condemn you. When Jesus comes, he brings hope to the hopeless, extends forgiveness, mercy, and grace. He comes into a situation where we are condemned to die. Each one of us were there, condemned by our sin, our sinfulness. And he says, I have a gift for you, a gift of salvation. I don't condemn you. I've made a way that you can have eternal life. And he says to her, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. He extends that grace and mercy to her. Now, there's a difference between mercy and grace. Grace is God blessing us. It's unmerited favor, right? It's us receiving from God, receiving from Christ, receiving what we do not deserve. Mercy is God withholding from us what we do deserve. We deserve death because of our sin. We deserve everything that's coming our way because of our sinful nature. Christ withholds it from us because he paid the price. Amen. So that's what he extends to us. And he says there, I don't want to show you the light. I don't want to give you a torch. I don't want to give you the five step. I am the light. And he who follows me will never walk in darkness. Now this evening I know each of us have got their own challenges. Amen. You've got maybe a difficult situation where you live or in your home. Maybe there's something you've been trusting for a long time. Maybe there's somebody that you've been praying for a long time. Maybe some have given up hope. Maybe there's something in your own life that you've been wrestling with for so long that you've kind of thought, maybe this is the way it's going to be. The picture I had earlier was, if our life is a house, there are different rooms, as if, you know, we've allowed Christ into our house and he's the Lord, but there's this back room and we haven't allowed him in there. And in there, there's hurt or there's shame or there's guilt or there's something that you've, it's just so much pain that you've, or maybe there's too much shame and too much guilt around something from your past and you've not been able to allow Christ into that area. I just feel tonight there's grace for us to invite him into that situation. Invite him into a hopeless situation. Invite him to a situation where there's death and destruction. And realize that when Christ enters in, everything changes. Amen. Let's look at Hebrews 4:16. It says there, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Through the cross, the Father has opened the way for us that we can come boldly into his presence. And not only that, we know as believers and we know as those that have a relationship with God, he is with us. Amen. So I'm not saying God is not with you, but there's a place where we invite him into stuff going on in our lives. How often do we just wrestle through stuff? How often do we find ourselves reaching out to even our small group or somebody to help? Before we pray, I told you, some of you might have heard a couple of weeks ago when I really hit my head really hard the other day, and I was like on the floor and like holding my head. It was really a hard knock, and I was almost knocked out type of thing, and it was really painful. And my little girl, she's four, she came and pushed the hand on the sore part. Like, please don't do that. And she just kept on doing it, and I was like, no, that's really sore type of thing. Was a bit more animated than that, but anyway. So, and then I realized she's laying hands on me. She's just immediately. That's the first thing she wanted to do, and I was so blessed that she wants me to pray for me, because how often do we just reach for the headache tablet or we just, you know, whatever solution is there before we reach out to Christ, who is the solution and who is the answer. I want us to listen to a song before we pray. And while we're listening to it, I want to really encourage you, if you need to invite Christ into a situation in your life, please do that. We're going to be praying together afterwards, but I just feel is, just let me tell you one more story. I was sitting on a plane the other day. We were flying down from Joburg, Cape Town, and as I was getting on the plane, I saw this on the plane was written, celebrating 50 years of something, of air, whatever, air travel or something. And I was like a bit concerned because I'm sure that aircraft was the first one this company bought. You know, it was very old. And you know, did you know that the average airliner is made out of about 6 million parts? And none of those parts can fly. Now, I'm just saying it's not the kind of thing you tell the person next to you before you take off. But anyway, so I was getting on there, and so I was sitting on the aisle, and I had two people next to me, and the lady sitting next to me from Mozambique, we greeted a bit, but I saw she was concerned. She was sitting like this and holding on. And then it's such an amazing thing in Africa. We don't have that in Europe, but in Africa, there's such a respect for somebody in the ministry. So in the UK, it's no longer like that. But yeah, you know what I'm talking about. There's still a respect in some of the most African cultures for somebody that's in the office of some kind of a minister. Anyway, so the Lord just laid something on my heart, and I've never done this before, I promise. But I said to her, don't worry, I'll pray for you. I'm a pastor. And she was so relieved. and she really relaxed. It was amazing. But so we started chatting, and she just opened up. As if the presence of the Lord was just so beautiful there. She just laid all out. It was quite scary at one point. But she was sharing about how she got raped when she was young, and how she now has a daughter, but then she got born again, and now she's a child of God, and now she's so enjoying this daughter, and how the Lord has just turned that whole thing upside down and around, and I was like amazed. And I mean, people, you don't tell strangers these kind of things, you know. And she was just testifying, and then we spoke about lots of things, but the presence of God was so amazing. And normally in situations like that, I just speak a bit louder than necessary, you know, so hopefully some other people benefited from the conversation. But she had lots of questions about the Holy Spirit, and I asked her, you know, and she said, no, she really has a desire to be filled with the Spirit, but she's never received the Holy Spirit, and such a desire. And she had questions, and she had fears. And we could chat about things, you know. We had about 2 hours, which is enough time. And the Lord could just minister to her and those things that were keeping her from receiving the Holy Spirit. And then I said to her, do you want to pray? And she said, yes. And again, you know, this is if the Lord just was so beautifully present right there. And the Lord seeing her desire, and seeing her hunger for Him. And right there, she was filled with the Spirit. She started praying in tongues. The guy sitting at the window was a bit uncomfortable, but it's all right. You know, you'll be all right. You spoke to him afterwards, but right there, Christ came into her situation again, and she was filled with the Spirit. She was praying in tongues, a bit loud, but that was all right. And but it was such a blessing, because even in that situation, when Christ came in, everything changed. And she could open up, and she could be ministered to by the Holy Spirit. I was just a spectator, basically. Such a privilege to be there. But the Holy Spirit knows where we're at, guys. He knows our desires. He knows the stuff that we've not told anybody else. He knows that thing in the back room. He knows that thing that you've almost given up hope for. And He wants to come into that situation tonight. I mean, let's listen to the song. And while we're listening, just... if you want to sing along, please do. But just bring your heart before Him and invite Him into your situation. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that you enjoyed your time with us, establishing God's kingdom and his glory in your life. For more info, call us on 012-362-1363. Email us, pretoria@shofaronline.org. Browse our website, www.shofaronline.org, or like us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.